Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, final hour of the show, final hour of the week. Let's make it a good one. Tiki and Tierney, company from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Need to know what it takes for home loans to fit your budget? And your family, well, Rocky can certainly help with that. All right, let's get into this. These are always fun. Honestly, in large part, a complete waste of time. Much like this, somehow I find myself embroiled. Met fans are trying to get my scalp. There's no hair. My scalp tonight.
Why?
Today. Oh, God. They're annoying me. what did I tweet? I tweeted, I actually think this is a very fair tweet, right? You'll see where I'm going with
Go
where
ahead.
We're going. So I tweeted this morning. I said, absolutely love DeGrom. Truly do. Mm-hmm. Transcendent talent, no doubt.
Oh, I saw this tweet, actually.
But right now, in 2020 and moving forward, I'm taking Gerrit Cole. His stuff is slightly better. And many in baseball agree. I have just been, it's been fun. I love it. Bring it. But they're all over me. Now, you could say, and most are saying that I'm dead wrong. But, and that's fine. And I guess you could certainly lean on some stats, but it's kind of a list. I'm listing Gerrit Cole moving forward ahead of Jacob DeGrom. And I could easily have flipped that and actually be okay with it. And it's not because he's a Yankee, but I believe Gerrit Cole, a little bit younger, whatever. So my that doesn't really get into that. But that, so I've been doing that today, right? And that's my little list here. And now we've got the NFL's little list. And there's nothing, you know, It's largely subjective. Yes, they use data. Mm-hmm. Yes, they use metrics, blah, blah, blah. But they unveiled their top 100 player list. And they've got Derrick Henry, number 10. I know you love that as a running back.
Love it. Finisher.
Oh, yeah.
He's a finisher, dude.
God, he was so great. In playoffs, he was phenomenal.
Awesome.
Stephon Gilmore, number 9.
Got that. Mm-hmm. Cornerback, one of the most important positions on defense, really on the team, to be honest with you.
That's right. DeAndre Hopkins checks in number 8, Arizona Cardinals now, wide receiver.
I agree with that. We'll see how his production changes or improves. Who knows?
Well, you know I love Kyler Murray, so I think it'll be fine. George Kittle, tight end, Sanford. That seems a bit ambitious, but and I love Kittle, but 7? Okay, 7. All right.
He gets that maybe because he's young and they just went to the Super Bowl.
Maybe. And again,
granted, they lost the Super Bowl to another really great tight end, Travis Kelce, but just saying.
Yep. He is, what, about 5 years younger than Kelce?
Yep.
Something like that?
Yeah, I think
so. C-Mac is number 6. Can't
really?
That. Yeah, you can make a case he might be higher, right?
Yeah.
He should be higher. Yeah, I hear you.
Come on.
I hear you.
He's top 3, dude. Seriously?
We're going to get to the top.
All right, keep going. Keep going.
And then you got Michael Thomas, number 5, wide receiver, Saints. Beast.
I can get with that.
Now we get to the one that everybody circles and says, what? Patrick Mahomes is number 4.
What?
Aaron Donald is 3.
Okay, that's okay.
I don't have an issue with that.
No, I don't.
Russell Wilson is 2. And Lamar Jackson is 1. I mean,
I'm laughing because I kind of agree with that. Now, here's the caveat to this poll. this listing, because it's listings, right? This listing was done by the players, BT. And what do the players respect? Players respect a baller, a guy who shows up every week, and every week you're like, damn, did he just do that? Mm-hmm. Wow. Did you see that spin move? He had no chance of getting out of that. He spun through three guys and went for a 50-yard touchdown. That's what Lamar Jackson did every single week, BT. And it's what he's done every week for the last year and a half, or year probably more than a half, because when he took over for Joe Flacco. And so I think he's getting that respect because he does awe-inspiring things when he's on the football field. Does that make him, you know, actually the best player in football? No, but the fact that he won an MVP probably influences everyone, which is the best player in football. So I'm okay with it. You know, for right now, I'm okay with that. Does it inform how he's going to be viewed going forward? No. But if I voted right now and you asked me who the best player in football is, I'd have to say Lamar Jackson.
Stop.
He won the MVP, BT.
Take this guy's NFL credential away.
Nope.
So you're basically telling me that there's not one, but there's two quarterbacks that are better than Mahomes. Because Russell Wilson's number two.
No. I think
there's no quarterback that's better than Mahomes.
That should be flipped. Honestly, Pat Mahomes should be two, and Russell Wilson should be four.
No,
if they're going to keep it there,
Mahomes should be one, and Lamar should be two.
Lamar
and
just
Donald
won,
should be three.
Lamar just won the MVP, dude.
I understand.
I mean, Pat Mahomes was not in the league last year. He won the Super Bowl.
He was hurt. He missed time. He probably still would have won.
Isn't that part of it? Your best ability is availability.
So none of these guys missed any time. Hold on. So
I don't think Donald did. I don't think Aaron Donald did.
Henry was pretty healthy.
Henry was healthy. C-Mac was healthy. Gilmore was healthy. I mean, yeah,
didn't Kittle miss a game or two? I thought he got hurt, Kittle.
I can't remember if he did.
Something. I think he missed a little time.
Yeah, he might have.
I think he did.
But he was in the Super Bowl. And so they gave him like the token tight end.
Stop.
There's got to be a tight end because the tight end is such an important part of the National Football League. Who is the best tight end in football? George Kittle this year, because he was in the Super Bowl, even though he lost to another great tight end.
Yeah, he missed two games. I thought he missed two. Okay.
Christian McCaffrey's a surprising one.
I would agree with that.
I guess you as a player – most players are still old school in their thinking. A lot, some of them are like, yeah, it's all about offense, but like most of them will say, dude, you got to have a good defense in order to win. That's why Aaron Donald finds his way into the top three. But I don't know how you keep Christian McCaffrey out of the top three. Dude, who is just, they weren't a good team last year in Carolina. The quarterback situation and obviously Cam being hurt, defense was attritioning out. And then all of a sudden, Christian McCaffrey goes for 2,000 all-purpose yards, 1,000 receiving, 1,000 rushing. How is he not a top three player? It's only been done one other time in the history of the sport. And that was obviously, what's his name? I'm forgetting his name.
1,000 yards receiving and rushing?
Marshall Faulk. Obviously, Marshall Faulk.
Well, no, Roger Craig did it too.
Yes, so three times in the NFL. So it's only been done three times in history.
Yeah.
So Christian McCaffrey is low on that list, but it's hard for him to jump all the other guys.
I could get behind that. C-Mac got a little disrespect, but correct me if I'm wrong. It does say top 100 NFL players.
Yep.
So when I see that, I just assume they're voting for the best players in the league, not with an immediate time restraint or an immediacy. To me, it's just all-encompassing.
Yeah,
Mahomes is the best quarterback in football, period.
Yes, but stop. But Lamar period. Jackson just won the MVP. And here's the question. Here's the question, BT. And I'll let you answer it first, and I'm going to answer.
All right.
From a dynamic player / athlete standpoint, Who's better, Lamar Jackson or Pat Mahomes?
Okay, now I'm going to answer it. The easy answer and the obvious answer would be Lamar Jackson.
That's right.
However, you're reacting to the video game spins, which, of course, you have to react
That's
to.
That's his game, though. He did it all at Louisville, too. It's not like he just happened upon this.
He's a beast, and he deserved the MVP, and he's terrific. But I think you're also discounting the velocity and the tight window throws that Mahomes makes and elite corners and elite defensive coordinators are sitting there scouring tape saying, how the hell did he fit that ball in there?
Yeah, but
so you're reacting to two different types of skill sets. Yeah. And by the way, Mahomes runs the ball a little bit too.
Yeah, he does, but he doesn't rush for almost 800 yards.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Nobody does.
I know. He does. Well, except, Michael Vick did, but still, you know what I mean?
Josh Allen was close too.
He was. He was.
And so was Kyler Murray.
We always discount. We always forget about Josh Allen.
Well, because he's not a good thrower.
That's right. He has to. It's like by necessity. But honestly, that's kind of Lamar Jackson too. He's still developing into that thrower. I mean, I don't know if he'll. You know, I don't think he'll ever become Pat Mahomes as far as I can put this in this window. I know exactly where it needs to be, you know, 50 yards downfield on a scramble play. This is where it's going to go. I don't know if he's ever going to be that, but he doesn't need to be that because he's so dangerous when he decides to take off.
Yep.
Now, this may change if he ever gets hurt. Like if he has a knee dislocation like Pat Mahomes did, I think Lamar Jackson's not coming back in a week or 2 weeks, however long, you know, Mahomes only out for like 2 weeks, I think.
He missed, I think it was two games.
Yep. So
I hear you.
Lamar Jackson is not coming back from that like that. You know what I mean? Because his game is predicated on that athleticism.
Unless he's the quick healer.
That's right. But
he's a baller. He's going to say, coach, I'm ready.
But to answer my question that I ask you right now in the National Football League, the most dynamic athletic star is Lamar Jackson.
But is he the best player?
But the players
are framing it differently.
But the player, I'm talking about from a player standpoint. When you ask a player who's the best player in football, they're going to say, "Damn, who's the guy that wowed me? Who wowed me the most?" And Lamar Jackson wowed us last year. Patty Mahomes was great in his MVP season 2 years ago when he won it. The year they didn't win the Super Bowl. So 2 years ago, he was. I've never seen God do stuff like that before. No-look passes and everything else.
Left-handed throws.
Yep, the same thing was said about Lamar Jackson last season.
Man, we saw Michael Vick do that, or at least remnants of that. We saw Vick do that.
Not quite like
Lamar, but we saw Michael Vick on his best day was
true,
sick.
But Michael Vick wasn't near the passer that Lamar Jackson was. And the reason is circumstantial, BT.
Okay.
Because in Michael Vick's era, the tight end wasn't the tight end. You know what I mean?
And the rules were different.
The rules were different. You could maul guys. You could crush wide receivers going across the middle. Therefore, you had to have big wide receivers who weren't dynamic, like the little wide receivers like Hollywood Brown that we see now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we had this conversation a couple months ago. Like the NFL has legislated out big wide receivers. You can get these small Tyreek Hills, Hollywood Browns, and be Odell Beckham Jr.'s, who are superstars in the NFL, because there's no danger of them getting broken across the middle of the field, right? Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Lamar Jackson has the benefit in the passing game of having that mismatch running through the middle of the field against a middle linebacker, which is the tight end. Vic didn't have that.
Okay, this is not to discredit Lamar, but this is just to further illuminate Mahomes. Here's something else that everybody's missing. So if it's a reaction to last season, all right, what you're really saying is it's a reaction to everything that transpired last season, to be fair to everybody, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, I knew that it was great. I just wanted to have it in front of me. Here's what he did in the three playoff games. Patrick Mahomes, all right? 66% completion percentage the first game against the Texans, 320 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks, 53 rushing yards, 7 attempts.
Yeah.
That's almost 8 a pop.
Yeah.
Phenomenal, all right? Next game. He goes for 3 touchdowns, no picks against Tennessee, and he's at 66% again. He runs for 53 yards again with a touchdown, okay? And then, of course, for the 49ers game, 2 touchdowns. He had the 2 picks as well, but you know he ran it 9 times, 30 yards, had the rushing touchdown, as we know, 62% completion percentage. So I understand that, again, the snippets of this incredible, the athletic achievement and the testing of physical limits that Lamar Jackson does every Sunday.
Yeah.
This is not to marginalize that, but I mean, you're making it seem like Patrick Mahomes is, Peyton Manning at the end where he just couldn't move. Mahomes is an athlete.
I'm not saying
with
that.
A far superior arm and a championship.
Yes, but maybe they voted non-playoffs.
What did Lamar? I was going to say, Lamar didn't look that good in the playoffs again.
Well,
2 years in a row.
I mean, he made some bad mistakes in the
2 years in a row.
But he almost came back and won it himself.
Almost.
And granted. And he's been a starter, a full-time starter for a year.
And what about Mahomes? Two years.
Yeah. Yes, that's I know. It. And he didn't win a Super Bowl in his second year. You know what
he
I mean?
He almost did.
He got close.
He almost got to the Super Bowl. Gronk makes that play to the four-yard line. He's getting to the Super Bowl. They should have won the game. They were superior all game.
Yeah, but they ran up
and
against...
And the Pats cheated.
No, they ran up against a superior quarterback when it mattered, which is Tom Brady at the time. So
that's not Mahomes' fault. That's defense. Mahomes did his work. He got enough points.
By the way, Pat Mahomes tweeted a little pencil emoji after seeing
nice,
this.
Nice.
Like I'm taking notes.
I got you. So how about this? And I already know the answer. So it's going to largely render what you're telling me meaningless.
Which is?
You're starting a franchise tomorrow. Who are you taking, Mahomes or Lamar Jackson?
Of course I'm taking Pat Mahomes.
Of course you are. And so is everybody else that voted here.
True.
Except maybe some Ravens teammates that voted for Lamar.
But they want to watch Lamar. They'll take Pat Mahomes, but they're turning the TV on every Sunday to watch Lamar.
But let me ask you a question. What about the other years? And I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure Tom Brady this year was inside the top 20, and he shouldn't be a lot higher.
As far as this ranking here?
Yes, just for this ranking. But I'm sure that there were years where unathletic or relatively non-athletic guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were either 1, 2, or 3. So their peers weren't voting on them
for
their
won,
athletic prowess and their dynamic nature.
He won the MVP, BT. It's like you can't forget that. And it was almost unanimous. You know what I mean? It wasn't even close. And again, part of that is because Pat Mahomes dislocated his knee and somehow played again in 2 weeks. But still, he missed a couple of weeks of football. So part of that is because Pat Mahomes wasn't healthy the whole time. Lamar Jackson, despite his running acumen and ability to win and make these spectacular plays, he played a whole season. That's part of it. And so, I mean, I get it. I could flip him either way. I still think Aaron Donald should be 3. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson should be 4. Pat Mahomes, in this case, is...
Well, you said C-Mac, too.
C-Mac should be in there, but I also said I don't know how he jumps any of these other guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He should be higher, but I don't know how you jump the best defensive tackle in the history of the sport, period.
Who's a wide margin better by... Who's next? Fletcher Cox? Who's
terrific? Fletcher Cox is probably next, but, I mean... Aaron Donald's the best D tackle ever.
I don't disagree with that.
Right? So I don't know how Christian McCaffrey, who's great, jumps that guy. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Listen, this is what it is. It spurs a little conversation. It's all good. It gets us away from the COVID stuff.
Yeah.
You know where I would vote, but I am really curious. Like, I know Mahomes is going to ball, and I know there'll be no, like, regression or – I don't think there'll be regression with Lamar, but I'm certainly far less convinced with that than I am with Mahomes. Like Mahomes, healthy, is on autopilot, you know, can just crawl into the Hall of Fame with maybe 600 touchdowns. I can't say that about Lamar Jackson. I can't say it.
It's a good point.
You know?
It's a good point.
All right, T, coming up next here. So the NBA is back. Talking about a minor miracle. 20 weeks, the restart. 2 games tonight. What to expect, what to look for, key storylines. Antonio Daniels joins his former player. Great interview. Does a show on Sirius. He's a really good spot. Lets it rip. Great rapport. We've had him on a ton. Good friend of the show. He's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Check them out. Visit geico.com to learn more. All right, the bubble is intact. We're ready for some hoopage tonight, and to help us get into it and get us even more excited as we move into it. Boy, it just seems so elusive for so many months. Antonio Daniels, former NBA guard, 4th overall pick back in the day out of Bowling Green. He's an NBA champion. He does his thing over on Sirius XM NBA Radio. He's part of the Pelicans broadcast team, so he's had a front row seat for Zion and that show. What up, AD? How you been, buddy?
I am awesome, fellas. Blessed. I hope you guys are doing well and your families are healthy and all is well in your world.
Yep. Yes, no, thank it God, definitely man. Is right now. Sure. And it'll be even better. And a little over an hour from now, we get the New Orleans Pelicans taking on the Utah Jazz. And it brings it to the first question we got to ask. What's Zion Williamson going to look like tonight. We don't know if he's going to play yet. Have you heard anything on that regard? But first, more importantly, when he does play, what's it going to be like for him?
Honestly, I don't know what it's going to be like for anybody because this is different. So I really don't know what to expect. This isn't a all-star weekend break.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a off-season break. This is a historic break, a hiatus of 141 days, I believe it was since the NBA was postponed, and 4 months. This is different. So I don't really know what to expect. I know what I would love to see, but what I would love to see and what may play out before our eyes because of the rust, because of the hiatus, may be a little bit different.
Yeah. No, with Zion, though, because he's young, he seemed like he got in really good shape during this, you know, whatever it was, four-month hiatus from the game. But he's also BT and I were talking about this earlier. It's almost like he has this pressure on him to be the guy right now. The NBA clearly, you know, crafted this 22-team bubble, you know, experiment to get the Pelicans into this conversation. So it's almost like, hey, Zion, yeah, you might make the playoffs, you might not, but right now you're the face of the bubble. You know, go do it. You know, what kind of pressure is he facing?
Well, the thing is, he's the most, heralded or talked about draft pick since LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a lot of stars that have come through the NBA from the time that LeBron was drafted in 2003 to today when Zion was drafted in 2020. Like, it's a lot that's happened since then. But you think of all the talent that's come through here. But none of those guys have been as talked about or their debut being more anticipated than Zion. So the pressure to be the next guy, I don't know if he's the pressure to be the face of the NBA, because the fact of the matter is, and I've heard LeBron say this numerous times, and I couldn't agree with him more, the NBA is in great hands as far as star power moving forward because of guys like Zion, because of guys like Giannis, mm-hmm. because of guys like Luka, because of guys like Ja Morant and Trae Young, you know, some of these really, really good young players. So, but even out of all of these guys that we're talking about, Zion, I think, if when we get back to normalcy and getting fans back in the stands, there's not a bigger draw out of all of the young players in this league than Zion is.
I agree. You know, and Steph Curry had this going, certainly when he hit his apex a couple of years ago. The thing that Zion has that maybe Durant, Teague and I were obviously kicking this around first hour of the show, that Durant might mm-hmm. not have. He comes across as, you know, a little, if I can use the word dour, just projects a little differently these last 4 or 5 years. He seems to be a little bit more, I don't know, withdrawn, if you will. Not from his teammates, but he doesn't smile as much. Part of being the face of the NBA, Magic had this, LeBron has it, even though he locks in clearly. You know, you got to resonate with the kids, and Zion will forever resonate with these kids.
Right, it's charisma.
Yep.
It's charisma. It's the smile. It's the way he carries himself. It's the humbleness. It's the ability to have the confidence to speak out about his family and faith that exists within his family. That's all a part of being the face of the NBA. Like, it's not just about production. It's not just about going up there and putting up 20 and 10. It's a lot, just like it's a lot that comes along with being the face of a franchise outside of just production and impact. You know, you have to have the smile. You have to have the personality. You know, Steph Curry has it. He has that same thing. You know, but the difference between Steph Curry and Zion is, if I'm a young kid, I can see myself as Steph Curry. I can be 6'3", uh-huh. 6'4", 185 pounds, 190 pounds.
Yeah.
Zion is built different, like LeBron, obviously. You know, when you talk about the DNA, he is genetically blessed. Yeah. So a kid that is growing up can look at Zion like, hey, man, you know what? I would love to be 6'5", 6'6", 275 pounds, and have a 45-inch vertical. You know, that's not normal. But, you know, there are certain guys that resonate for different reasons. And mm-hmm. with Zion, his charisma, his smile, and the way that he carries himself will always resonate with fans throughout this league.
So Antonio Daniels, NBA champion, SiriusXM, Pelicans broadcast team as well. You know, there's a lot of things we want to connect in this bubble here. But I am curious, if you can give us, you know, 30 seconds, 45, whatever. It's the Warriors are completely forgotten right now. They're not playing. They might get the first overall pick. We'll see how Klay Thompson's knee is. We'll see what they do with Wiggins, if they keep him, et cetera. But Are you in the school of the belief, the camp here, that, you know, next year right away they will assert themselves from the get-go and prove not like they were when they won 73 games. That's obviously over. The league's different. But they are absolutely one of the handful of teams that could win a championship. Will they jump right back into that conversation?
Yes. It's not like it was a couple years ago, because they went from a really, really good team to a great team with Kevin Durant. They made the NBA, by fan standards, unfair by adding Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to go back to being a really, really good basketball team, because when you have Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and I think Andrew Wiggins is going to be fantastic there in that championship culture, and you have a lottery pick to come along with one of the best coaches in today's NBA and Steve Kerr and his style of play, I think they're going to be right back in the conversation of in the Western Conference as far as challenging the Lakers and challenging the Clippers and any other team in the Western Conference that have championship aspirations.
Nuggets.
Yeah. Yep. No, okay. I agree. Now, but jumping to the East, it seems like as long as Giannis Antetokounmpo stays with the Milwaukee Bucks, that they're going to be that team. But BT and I were speculating, if we think he's loyal, we think he's going to stay in Milwaukee. But, you know, what are the chances that if they don't do well this postseason, is Chris Middleton the guy? It's not a free agent destination per se, that he leaves. And there's a lot of pressure on him. I think and on the Bucks right now.
Yes, yes. And I think this is one of the biggest and most underrated storylines of the bubble. Because right now what we're focusing on is the sexy picks.
Yeah.
You know, the Lakers because of LeBron and AD, and the Clippers because of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And then you look at the East, and it's not as sexy. I think what is going on in Milwaukee with Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks, as far as their future is concerned, is one of the most underrated stories of the bubble. To watch how they perform in this bubble, because I think it's incredibly important, not just for Giannis Antetokounmpo and his legacy individually, but also collectively for this franchise. You know, as far as four removed, there is no other professional sport that is as star-driven as the NBA. Mm-hmm. One player makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Look at what LeBron James has done from team to team and how those teams fare after LeBron leaves.
Yeah.
One player makes a significant difference. You take Giannis Antetokounmpo off the Milwaukee Bucks, it changes the entire trajectory of the future of that franchise. So the way that they play now, the way that they finish now, and they perform during these playoffs, even though these are unforeseen circumstances, they are incredibly important.
Well, let me ask you this then, Antonio, because Teek and I were kicking this too. You know, we've said this for a long time. Nobody has more pressure in the bubble. See, I would disagree in the sense I don't think it's underrated at all. Teek and I have been amplifying the storyline mm-hmm. for months where, you know, if they get knocked out early, does Giannis bolt? Does he have second thoughts about resigning? So there's more on the table for them than any team in the NBA. So to us, it's never been underrated. It's been a primary story. But what we do debate is whether or not Chris Middleton is truly an elite number two. I've got my doubts. You think about the duos, the Jordans and the Pippins, the Shaqs and the Kobes, the Magics and the Kareems or Worthies, the Birds and the McHales. Is he that kind of number two?
Well, I mean, you're talking about some of the all-time greats at number two. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. You know, when you start talking about guys like Scottie Pippen and Bird and McHale and, you know, Magic and Kareem, we're talking about all-time greats. And no, Chris Middleton's not in the conversation for being an all-time great. Do I think he's good enough to be a second or a Robin and help get the Milwaukee Bucks to the NBA Finals? I do, but I don't think that just falls on Chris Middleton. You know, I think that falls on a lot of other guys. I think it falls on Eric Bledsoe, mm-hmm. you know, and how he runs that point guard position. I think it falls on Wes Matthews' ability to knock down shots. Because if we go back a year, one of the things that happened in that series is they built a wall against Giannis Antetokounmpo and forced the role players to beat them, and they couldn't. So as good as Giannis is, you also need those guys around you, because Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan had guys like Steve Kerr, had guys like John Paxson, yeah. had guys like B.J. Armstrong, guys that hit timely shots. Larry Bird
Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge.
I got
exactly.
you.
You know, you can go back and look at a number of different guys. So I don't think this just falls on Chris Middleton. Yeah. I think this Bucks team as a whole is under a good amount of pressure. By the way, guys, Zion will play tonight.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Great nice. To hear. Great to hear. But before we
great
let you
news.
Before we let you go, AD, and that is great news, because that's what we all want to see. And Zion's he's no dummy, man. He knows it, right? This is going to be the most watched basketball game in a long time. probably back to the finals of last year, right? John Morant said something interesting about the play-in tournament, per se. Like, they're the eighth seed right now. There's 3.5 games up, and there's a good chance that, you know, whatever happens, the unpredicted nature of the bubble, they're going to get knocked out of this. Is this unfair to him? I mean, I know he's young and he doesn't have a voice yet, but is he right?
No, that it's unfair for Memphis?
Yeah.
No, because the season, like, you think about it, there's still a quarter of the season yet to play. You know, like, I don't think this is unfair for anybody. I think the NBA did this the best possible way that they could. But, again, we are dealing with something that's never happened before.
Yeah.
But to say that everything should be the way it is when you have close to 20 games remaining, 16 to 18 games remaining, no, I don't think it's unfair to anyone.
Nice.
Now it's just the point that you have to come into this bubble and take care of business. That's it. If you're Memphis, if you're San Antonio, if you're New Orleans, if you're Sacramento, you know, if you're Portland, all of these teams have to hit the ground running.
All right. Antonio Daniels, he's always running. You say his name, and he's often running.
Often running
with his thoughts and his mouth and always connecting dots in a great way. Love having y'all, man. Great job today.
All right. Thank you guys for having me, fellas.
Appreciate you.
Breaking some news, too.
All right, Teague, over under 25 points.
Because I haven't seen
Zion tonight. Which way are you going?
Over.
So, great job by Antonio.
32.
I don't know how long he's going to play.
I know. I'm saying 32.
We'll 32, huh?
And like 28 minutes.
That would be sweet. Probably a little, as I've said a few times, some indifference to defense to start. Get some easy dunks. I don't think people will be, really protect. Well, they don't protect the rim during the regular season when they're in the flow of a season. They start protecting the rim now.
Yeah, no.
After this couple of month layoff. But it's great to have him back. And while it's certainly far from normal, you know, the Philly situation, the Marlins, which is still a mess, and we'll see what happens with the NFL. You know, it doesn't feel normal, but, man, it feels a whole hell of a lot better than it did a couple of months ago.
Yep.
Got stuff to watch.
Agreed.
I'm watching Brooks Koepka right now. Hit a little wedge onto the green.
Oh, give us an update. What's happening right now?
Brooks leading the way, -7. Ricky Fowler one back at -6. Sung Kang, I believe he is from Korea. He is -5. He's in the clubhouse. He already shot a 65. Fowler's in with a 64. Koepka's got a few, 4 holes to go. So I don't know if there's I would imagine there's at least one par 5 on the final few holes coming in for Brooks. So, you know, he's going to have a chance to should easily birdie that if he's hitting it straight.
Yep.
And maybe he gets to -8 or -9, but it looks like a nice leaderboard. So
yeah,
it's gonna
it does.
Be good on
and this is an
this
important
weekend.
This is an important one for CBS this weekend because it's the lead up to the first major of the year, the PGA Championships next week. We're going to get a couple of guests.
What do we have?
I think I'm going to I'm efforting. I told Sam to this to get the president of the PGA of America. To go through all the processes that it took to, because this golf season was convoluted, man. It was messed up, and they were able to pull it off, and so we're going to try to get her. She's the first woman president of the PGA, and then maybe another guest on Friday as well. So we'll see.
Phenomenal. Also, Mickelson's -3, Sergio's -3, Bryson DeChambeau's -3. DeChambeau just finished. Phil's done as well. And, yes, so is Sergio. So, some big names. All right, Teague, you ready for a little blast? See what we got today?
Cool. Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Tennessee Titans put a veteran pass rusher Vic Beasley on the reserve did not report list yesterday.
Interesting.
He failed to show up for his COVID-19 testing and had zero communication with the team. So how should Tennessee handle this moving forward?
Yeah, I know. I read this story a little bit earlier, BT. I think the fear is, not the fear, but they're worried that he's going to opt out. Now, this situation is fluid because the NFL and the NFLPA agreed on a decision for how to handle the monetary side of this and the COVID testing protocol side of this. And guys haven't, 7 days after the deal is done to opt out. Mm-hmm. Now, the deal was agreed upon like Monday or Tuesday, I believe. It has not been signed yet. And so guys still have until they sign it, they have 7 days from the point that they sign it. in order to opt out. So the fear is that Vic Beasley is contemplating opting out.
Okay.
So I think that's what the issue is. It's not about disciplining Vic Beasley. It's what's his plan for this coming season.
I'd still be a little turned off with no communication. That's not the professional way to do it.
No, I don't disagree.
You know, new team. But, he was obviously drafted by Atlanta. Crazy, too, from when he started year two.
Yeah, out of Clemson.
For sure. He was all pro second year. Had, like, I want to say at least five, maybe six forced fumbles, over 15 sacks.
Dude, he was disruptive as
he was. He was a problem. So now he seems to be maybe a little problem for the Titans. Yeah. The Falcons moved on from him. You've got to get an answer.
Well, he had health issues. He had health issues with the Falcons. But the thing to think about and to remember is we don't know what's going on with his family. You know what I mean?
True.
We have no idea.
Pick up the phone and call your employer.
I don't disagree, but it's a new employer. Yeah. So he might not know, like, be comfortable. Like, who do I call?
Okay.
You know what I mean? There'd be people you call if you'd been with the organization for a couple of years just because you have that relationship. He doesn't really have a relationship with anybody there.
You know what, Teak? If that's the case, and you could be right, then his agent gets on that today.
I agree.
And we should have resolution tomorrow.
Agreed.
Okay, we'll see. Hopefully everything's fine. Bears GM Ryan Pace told 670 The Score in Chicago yesterday that he feels full support from Bears ownership. This is the guy who moved up, one slot to take Mitch Trubisky. Could Pace's job be in jeopardy if they fail to make the playoff? Of course. I mean, I basically thought it was in jeopardy after last year. Of course it's in jeopardy, sure. You know, listen, that is a move that will forever be at the top of your resume, moving up to get Trubisky and ignoring some other really talented quarterbacks. And until you either do something worse, which then jumps in front of it, or hopefully in Ryan Pace's case, something better to kind of bury that down a line or two, that's kind of what you're known for. So, yeah, he's on thin ice. Of course, he should be.
And again, and look, he's doing what he thinks is right, and I get some of his thinking. The trade for Khalil Mack, which gave up a lot of assets. Khalil Mack was good last year because he's Khalil Mack, but he wasn't the world beater that he was a couple of years ago. What did he have? He had 8.5 sacks last year.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the same player.
No,
you're right.
I mean, he got respect. I think he made the Pro Bowl last year, but I mean,
he's a little drop off.
Yeah, it was a big drop off.
Yeah, no, it was.
Double digit sacks for the first, 15, 11, 10.5, 12.5, 8.5 last year.
He didn't blow up offense the way he usually does.
I mean, I don't think that's a long term issue, but Ryan Pace is going to be judged on the players that he brings in and the impact, more importantly, the impact that they have on their team's wins and losses. And right now, Mitch Trubisky's not that answer. In fact, they're replacing him, and Khalil Mack had a down year. Maybe he rebounds and it helps, but we'll see. He's definitely on. He's definitely warm. He's maybe not hot, but that seat is not cold.
I think it's hotter than warm. I think it's trending there fast. And just a point of reference, think about this. So what the Raiders got back in the Khalil Mack trade, Joe Douglas got back more for a safety with the Jamal Adams trade. Adams than the Raiders got for Khalil Mack. Think about that, Jet fans.
Great point.
You finally have a GM.
Khalil Mack is an all-timer.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And Jamal Adams is going to be good.
He's going to be.
I don't know if he's going to be an all-timer, though.
I think he is.
I don't know.
I think he's accurate. You're still not buying it fully.
I just got to see it. I just got to see it in a great team.
Well,
on
if you
a great
stop
team.
Watching your bad Giants and watch the Jets once in a while, you'd see it.
I always got to watch the bad Giants, just like you always got to watch the bad Jets.
It's a life sentence. I hear you, man. Denver Nuggets.
At least there's some championships in there for the Giants.
I don't know. Denver Nuggets president of basketball operations, Tim Connelly, said he had a conversation with Michael Porter Jr. About his comments on the coronavirus being used for population control.
Come on.
Did the Nuggets handle this properly?
I mean, I don't know how else you handle it. I mean, there is no conspiracy in Wuhan to cull the population. It just doesn't make any sense. It's just not controllable. This is something that happened randomly in nature, and because they were irresponsible, then we were irresponsible. It's come to this epic proportion around the world. Forget our country, just around the world. But to discount it as something that's a conspiracy theory, it's just ignorant. I don't know how else they could handle it. He's entitled to his opinion. I don't know if he needs to say anything, if they need to really say anything to him other than educate yourself, but Yeah, I think they did handle it properly.
I don't know what else you could do. Obviously, you're not going to suspend them. You just have a sit down, and I agree. There's really not much more to say at that point. I think you nailed that. Yeah. Nothing else to add. All right. So I guess, Andre, this is what happens when you're in a bubble. forward Andre Iguodala was a little bored last night, maybe. Not during the game, but maybe a little bored during a little stoppage in the game because he took to Twitter and he wrote, number 23 from the Mystics is nice. That's what he wrote. Number 23 for the Washington Mystics is Ariel Powers, who didn't take kindly to the tweet. She responded with, put some respect on my name or keep this tweet to yourself.
Wow.
Do we agree with Powers' stance here? Do we agree with, you know? I'm going to respect any woman who doesn't take too kindly to basically, not that he was treating her. I mean, it wasn't below board, completely disrespectful, but it was, I want to say this the right way because it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, he's saying she's hot. That's what he's saying. She's saying, oh, wow, look at her. She's hot, the girl for the Mystics.
But was
it's
he
a compliment.
But was he saying that?
Oh, maybe. Unless he was just saying she was
a
great player.
She scored 27.
Oh, that's true,
she
too.
Scored a career-high 27 as they beat the Suns.
That's true.
I mean,
I'm thinking that he just thought she was attractive.
I don't think he was saying that at all. Huh. I think he was just saying, this girl's got game.
Okay. Like,
If someone said to me, man, that, she was nice, I would say, oh, so she's as a baller. I'd say,
you know,
oh,
what?
She put up some points, man.
So would I. Now that I would say the same. Absolutely, I agree.
If it was like, oh man, she's smoking.
Yeah,
that's a different conversation.
Okay, so assuming that that's what he meant, that she was balling, and she almost had 30. Do we agree with Powers' stance? The little kickback there. Put some respect. That seems a little unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean,
he was giving you props that you were balling. 27 points.
Yeah.
What, that he didn't know her name?
She interpreted it the way that she interpreted it, so I stand by her stance. But I think she's jumping to conclusions. Because I don't think Andre Iguodala is that kind of dude. I mean, he's always not old, but he's not young.
He's one of the class acts in the
exactly,
NBA.
So... Yeah, I agree, but I think she's just a little bit she's
a little bit mystic.
Yeah, no. Just she's misguided.
Maybe she took it as it was like a social media advance. Like,
yes, I think she did.
And
she
maybe
definitely
she doesn't
did.
Want to be looked at as a piece of meat. And how could you blame her?
Yeah.
If that's it, then I'm with her. If it was about if she took it as a compliment for her basketball prowess, that is probably a little bit much. But
yeah.
It's her thoughts, and that's what matters.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Anthony Barr just saw, this was within the last 15 minutes, Anthony Barr on reserve COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker,
there's a handful
for the Vikings.
Yeah, there's been a handful of players that have been on that COVID list. It doesn't mean that they're out, but they're just on the COVID list, and it's undetermined amounts. Like IR, so they can use it for a roster spot.
Mm-hmm.
They probably won't do that in the early stages of training camp, but it's just something to be aware of.
All right, so
yep.
We shall see.
Yep.
I am off tomorrow. Teague is going to engineer this thing solo, so yep. I'll catch you on Monday there, brother.
Yep, most certainly. And also condolences to our producer, Mike Samter, who lost his dog, Buddy, today. That's why he's out. And D-Cell went solo and crushed it. But condolences, Mike.
Yeah,
feel for
sure.
You, brother.
That's horrible. I was texting Mike privately today. He's very close to him, so that's a tough one for him and his wife, Susan. Hang in, guys. Have a great show tomorrow. Safe, sensible, sane. Enjoy the weekend. I'll catch you Monday. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.